Deuteronomy 26, verses 16 through 19. Checking my time. Pretty good. All right, here we go. The Lord your God commands you this day. You know the Lord will command you. Can I get a witness on that? Yes. The Lord your God commands you this day to follow these decrees and laws carefully. Observe them with all your heart and with all your soul. That's pretty much all you got. Can I get a witness on that part, right? All right. All your heart, all your soul. You have declared this day that the Lord is your God and that you will walk in his ways, that you will keep his decrees, commands, and laws, and that you will obey him. And the Lord has declared this day that you are his people, his treasured possession, as he promised, and that you are to keep all his commands. Would you say all, please?
All.
Yes, all his commands. He has declared that he will set you in praise, fame, and honor. Now, does that sound good? Come on now, does that sound good?
Yes.
Praise, fame, and honor. There is a path to praise, fame, and honor in 2012.
Yes.
Now, some of you might have been celebrating in praise, fame, and honor in 2011. I missed a lot of it. So if you think you can just kind of relax, maybe that praise, fame, and honor is not spreading as wide as you thought.
Amen.
Thank you very much. Yes. He has declared that he will set you in praise, fame, and honor high above all the nations he has made, and that you will be a people holy to the Lord your God as he promised. Lord, we come before you this morning, knowing, Lord, that you make promises, Lord, and that you make demands on our lives, Lord. And as we look at 2012, our Lord Jesus, that you would meet us, Lord, that you would guide each one of us, that you would speak to our hearts, that we could hear from you and know, that we could know that you would guide us as you did the people in the wilderness, as you did the Jews as they took the land, that we would find the challenges that they found and that we would find the victories that they found. Lord, we give you praise this morning. Lord, I would pray a binding on every distraction, Lord. You anoint us to hear from you, and we would give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Everyone said what?
Amen.
Yes, yes. I was driving around last week. Lisa was gone, went up to L.A., did some family stuff, and I was batching. I was listening to the radio, and you know what I heard about? I heard about a crackdown, DUI crackdown that was going to be happening last night. I see that you are here. I trust that none of you spent the night in jail. Now, I'll tell you what. I did some research, and the average cost of a DUI in the state of California is $6,600. She's got an extra $6,600.
Nope.
I tell you what. Don't get drunk all year, and you won't have to worry about a DUI. You can tithe on the $6,600, and you can keep the rest. And you'll be 6,000 ahead. Amen?
Amen?
All right. See, that's kind of wisdom that you get here if you aren't familiar with that, okay? Now, there are some people who are not so wise. I also did some checking on DUI arrests are up 20%. Some people's choices, not so good. I believe there are, as I recall correctly, there are 19 reporting agencies within the county of San Diego. In the time from December 17th through December 27th of this year, 10 days, 534 DUI arrests in San Diego County. That adds up to $3.5 million taken out of our economy. Because of DUI, because of drunkenness. You can obey the law, or you can pay the price. And so we come to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy means the second law, the second giving of the law, because if we go to Exodus, and we have basically the first giving of the law, when they came out of Egypt, and they had cried out to God, and God had delivered them out of their slavery, and they went into the wilderness, and he gave them a response on how they were to live with him. I don't want anybody leaving here today thinking that God gives you the law so that you can have relationship with him. No, God gives you his commands because you have relationship with him, and he wants you to know how to continue and live in that relationship. Amen. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Amen? Right. So he wants you, he says, this is how you stay connected to me. My wife has expectations on me that because I am her husband, she expects me to behave in a certain way. And because we are joined with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because we have called out to him, he has expectations on how we behave. Now, this is the second giving of the law, because all these Jews cried out to God, and he saved them. He delivered them out of Egypt, out of slavery, and they perished. The whole generation perished. They had to get a second law because none of them heard the first law. They perished in the wilderness. And so God speaks to a new generation, and it is at a pivotal time. The old generation has passed away, and the new generation is looking right at the promised land. 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years for a previous generation to pass away. And they are preparing to cross the Jordan River. They are preparing to enter into the promise of God. And I'm wondering how you are doing today. Because we come to January 1st, 2012, and it is a great time to look back and forward. Because some of you might look back. Some of you, I know, are looking back at 2011 and are going, man, I would sign up for 2011 again. It was so good. And you were growing. You were moving ahead in the Lord. You were living in the promise of God. Can I get a witness on that?
Yeah.
I tell you, it is wonderful to see. Now, there's growth that happens. There's challenges that happen in the promise. But to see good choices. And sometimes, like Roki said, the Lord will help you out in your choices. Put a great big old Rottweiler right in front of you and say, are you sure you want to go this way? And give you another option. Am I talking to anybody here today? Now, some of you look back in 2011 and just say, no way! No way! It was a drudgery. It was a burden. It was a chore. My whole life was in the pit. I was wandering in the wilderness all of 2011. What a struggle. Then you come to today, January 1st, 2012, and you are looking for a change, looking for something different coming up. Now, whether or not you loved 2011 or hated it, what happens in 2012 is up for you to choose. You can choose obedience or you can choose disobedience. And what we're going to talk about today is choices that change. Choices that will dictate the course of your life in the next year. And I am hoping, and I don't know what day of the week, don't tell me, I don't need to know, next January 1st is on. But I'll probably be saying I said the same thing last year. January of 2013, I hope that you are looking back at 2012 as a year of promise. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. All right, let's take a look. Deuteronomy, going back to the beginning of chapter 26. When you have entered the land, remember, this is Moses speaking to the people of God, the Jews, and they have not yet taken the land. Now, you think they might be a little bit intimidated? Amen? They got Jericho there with the big old walls and all that kind of stuff. When you have entered the land, the Lord your God is giving you. Would you say giving you, please? Giving you. Yes, it's a gift. So the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance and have taken. Would you ever say taken, please? Yeah, so you got given and taken. We're going to talk about that. Taken possession of it. And settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land of the Lord your God is giving you and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name and say to the priest in the office at that time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land and that the Lord swore to our forefathers to give us. God is our provider. Amen. Have you found that in 2011? Have you found that God makes provision, or have you been so busy making your own provision that you haven't had time to wait on his? God is our provider. They would receive this land as a gift. And in fact, the gift that they would receive, right, they would be growing crops from fields that they did not plant. And they would be living in houses that they did not build. Hey, and the speaker's going back over there. Gina, if you want to go back in the room, you can hear me and just keep on rolling. Evan, I'm sorry. Sisters can be a challenge at times. Yes, just keeping their names right. It was an inheritance. It was a gift of God. And you have promises from God. You have got some stuff that you can bank on that God is ready to give you if you would but line your life up on him. Sounds nice, eh?
Yes.
Amen. So we line ourselves up. Now, the gift was something to be received, and it was something to be taken. There were some opponents. There were some enemies that were in the land. You say, wait a minute. God is giving them the land. Now they have to take it? Anybody else a little confused by that? How can he give it to you and you have to take it? Now, he also said, I'm going to give your enemies into your hand. But you still got to fight. So many of us just want to sit around and wait while the Lord does all the work. We just want to receive it. He says, no, I don't play that way. He says, I'll give you your enemies, but you still got to go to battle. I'll give you your enemies, but you got to fight. I'll give you victory, but you have got to win. Come on now. See, some of you have not done any fighting in 2011. You've been sitting around waiting for victory to get delivered, like that Domino's pizza we talked about last week. Whether or not you are living in the promise, or whether or not you are living in the wilderness, there will still be challenges. They look very different. But God's life is a life of growth. God's life is a life of victory and overcoming. And he says, if you're going to find that victory, you have to obey what I command you. Because if you don't, there's going to be all kinds of challenges. Last thing I see right here, he says, when you get there, when you get to the land that I'm giving you, remember how you got there. Remember who gave it to you. Remember who was guiding you along the way, who was making provision. When you get there, take the very first thing that you produce, put it in a basket, and bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, I realize you were breaking my provision this whole time. Sometimes we can forget about that. Sometimes we can think we're making our own provision. And God just there on the side. And that's why Moses says, when you get there, don't forget how you got there. And don't forget who brought you there. Because some of us can do that. Amen? All right. Let's continue on. Because God is our provider and God is our deliverer. Verses 7 and 8 says, then we cried out to the Lord. And Moses is rewinding back that 40 years. Talking about when they were in slavery. Because we've got to remember, they were delivered out of slavery. And we have been delivered out of slavery if you've called on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen? And you come out of that slavery and they went into wilderness. Some of us come out of slavery and we spend some time in the wilderness. Now, wait a minute. I didn't sign up for the wilderness. I just signed up for the promise. Come as a pair, folks. We cried out to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery. Have you guys ever lived in misery? Our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. We sang that in that song. That's why I wanted her to sing that song. The mighty hand and an outstretched arm. With great terror and miraculous signs and wonders, he brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, O Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Kind of puts us in our place. Amen? The Lord is our provider and the Lord is our deliverer. The Lord is the Lord of the past and the Lord of the future. Your past, your future. See, Moses is telling these Jews as they prepare, the children of Israel, the Jews we know them as today, as they're preparing to take the land, that hey, this started a while back. 40 years ago, we cried out in our slavery and the Lord delivered us from Egypt. We are in process. And so today, we need to realize that the Lord has a process for our lives, a process of growth, a process of improvements, a process of investment, a process of change. Now, some of you changed a ton in 2011. And some of you spent all your time resisting change. Pastor Bob, just get off my back. Jews cried out in their misery. I'm trusting you guys don't cry out in your misery around here. They cried out in their slavery. And many of us cried out. Some of you cried out to the Lord in 2011 to deliver you from slavery, the slavery of sin. Jesus will deliver you from that. And just as the Jews were in, some of you guys sound like that. No! That's good. Yeah, kids are good around here. For some, the process is uncomfortable. Like whatever he's going through. That's uncomfortable in there. His mom's uncomfortable right now. The Jews are uncomfortable, and they're out in the wilderness, and they figured they'd go back to Egypt. They said, we'll go back to slavery. I mean, I want you to get some parallels here. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, oh, man, this whole living with the Lord thing is tough. I think I'll just go back to my old life. Yep. Can I get a witness there? And I want you to understand this, folks, that God allowed that whole generation to perish before they reached the promised land. Remember that these were the children of Israel that had called out to God in their slavery. I don't know how many of you have seen the Ten Commandments with Yul Brynner and Charlton Heston. It's pretty cool. It is pretty cool. I mean, it's not biblical, but it's pretty cool. And these guys, these Jews had seen the hand of God, the mighty hand of God revealed through the power that was displayed in Moses. The ten plagues, the blood, the frogs, the gnats, the flies, the livestock, the hail, the locusts, darkness, and I missed one. The darkness and the firstborn. Oh, hail? I got it right here. Boils, yes. Oh, can you imagine a plague of boils? A plague of boils, man. I don't want to ask you how many of you have had a boil before. I don't want to know about it, but I got to think they're pretty bad. God had delivered these children of Israel through all of that. They had seen the Passover. They had put blood on their homes. The death angel passed over their homes. They had left Egypt. They had plundered Egypt. They had fled from Egypt's army and Pharaoh's army, and they had passed through the Red Sea as on dry ground. How many of your lives would be severely impacted if you saw God do those things? Oh. Incredible things. And of that whole generation of 2 to 3 million that left Egypt and were the age to handle a spear, they say 20 years old or older, 2 to 3 million died. There were three left: Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. And Moses is telling a new generation to follow God. I don't know where you're at with the Lord. You can have spent all of 2011 wandering in the wilderness. The promise or the wilderness, it is yours to choose. But there are Christians that perish in the wilderness. They never get beyond their old drama. They never get beyond their own sin. They never get complete deliverance. They live their lives in turmoil. Challenging message. Wait a minute. I didn't sign up for a challenge. I just wanted some blessings. Have you heard that before? Just say yes to Jesus. He'll bless you. Well, I tell you what, if you read the whole book, there's a lot more than that. You sign up with Jesus, you'll get heaven. But it is a challenging life along the way. Wait a minute, I didn't sign up for that. Remember, all 12 of the disciples died. Well, not John. John, they boiled him in oil, and he lived. Would you want to live after being boiled in oil? I got to think death might have been preferred. I mean, you got cooked meat on you. You know, and they don't got any skin grafts and all that kind of stuff back in the day. Man. We're going to talk about choices the next couple of weeks. Wilderness, the promise. Yours to choose. Amen?
Amen.
Challenges. We got to face up to them. I think Lisa was talking about challenges. Roki, Aaron, maybe they were all talking about challenges for 2012. Guess what? They're coming. Expect them. Don't be surprised when they get here. Verse 16, the Lord your God commands. Would you say commands?
Amen.
The Lord your God commands you this day to follow these decrees and laws. Carefully observe them with all your heart and with all your soul. God gives us commands to follow. There's a long list of commands. This is chapter 26. You can read about 20 chapters of commands in Deuteronomy. Chapters 5 through 11 give you some generalities. Some broad strokes, okay? And then you get to chapters 12 through 26, and there are specifics on how you can work out those generalities. And that the specifics are there to give you some guidelines. It's like, how do I work this out? I can't figure out chapter 9. It's too general. Well, you go there, and you can read about the specifics. And if you're going to follow God, it's going to take some effort. Oh, come now. Come now. If you're going to follow God, it's going to take some effort.
Amen.
Thank you very much. I'll preach to the youth over here. Yes, you get a witness on that. Yes. Now, some of you going, effort? I mean, I started talking about 20 chapters of reading the Deuteronomy. You're going, click, no way. What is this guy expecting? What do they want from me around? Can I find a church, you know, that'll give me some Bibles, just put it on audio, something like that? Can I just stay at home? Can I have a multi-venue church I can sit around and drink Starbucks? That's what I'm looking for. I don't really want to put any effort in. Remember, there's curses associated with disobedience. Oh, maybe I could put in a little effort. Maybe I could work on a little bit. There's no coffee directions in that, by the way, sir. No, there's no Starbucks in there. Curses, maybe I can put a little effort in. Well, sorry, folks. God is looking for more than just a little effort. He's looking for your whole heart. He's looking for your whole soul. God is looking for complete compliance to his commands. Wow, it sounds so rigid. Hey, not my book. I'm just teaching what's written. They say, well, Jesus was different. He's so merciful. Let me read you what Jesus said. Revelation 3:15 and 16. I know your deeds. I know what you did in 2011. I was watching. He says, I know your deeds. You're neither hot nor cold. Kind of in between. You were lukewarm. I wish you were hot or I wish you were cold. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. He says, you make me want to vomit. That's your merciful, loving, kind, and generous Jesus. See, Jesus is not joking, folks. God is not joking. He says, you want to enter into relationship with me? It cost me my blood on the cross. I will show you. I will save you. All you have to do is ask me, but I'm going to show you what, how I would have you respond. Because I love you too much to keep you the way you are. I love you too much to keep you the way you are. Oh, thank you, Leroy. I'll preach to you. All right. Hallelujah. All right. B, there is a promise to lead. See, God expects us to follow, and God leads those who follow him. And the Lord has declared this day that you are his people, his treasured possession, as he promised. Promised Abraham 400 years before that you are to keep all of his commands. God leads those who follow. God even led him in the wilderness. God led them as they were perishing. God calls those people who follow him his family. And God loves his family. You can tell who's in the family of God. People in the family of God act like the family of God. People in the family of God act like the family. You go, that guy in the family of God, I can tell he's in the family of God by how he's acting. Why? Following the commands of God. He is being obedient to God. Now, some of us come to the Lord, and we still got some of the tendencies of our old family. You know about that, huh, Leroy? Yeah. And we're kind of working on some of those old tendencies. We're working on the transition. We call that wilderness time. God lead you through the wilderness. Now, there's some people die in the wilderness. Never get through their old tendencies. I mean, you come to the Lord, you're all messed up.
Amen.
Thank you, Leroy. Messed up man right there. Man after my own heart. Yes, we are messed up, and we begin a lifelong process of being cleansed, right? And we come, and I'll tell you what, it took me a year to get unpolluted. Just I was so polluted, I was just working on my pollution. I was in the wilderness. I started coming through that pollution, and all of a sudden I started being able to do some stuff and started entering into that promise. Amen?
Amen.
More you say hello to the Lord, the more you work with him and let him expose stuff and get some people around you, the more he's going to do in you and through you and be a person of promise. See, God treasures his family. Bible tells us, he says that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their cry. You cry out to the Lord, he's paying attention. He is on your side. You're part of his family. But the Lord is not just looking at his family. The Lord's looking at the planet. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. Say, that's not my Lord. My Lord is just kind and oh, my Jesus just being patient with me. He was patient with the children of Israel in the wilderness till they died. I'll tell you what, it is better to jump on the obedience bandwagon than to have God waiting on you. I mean, if Barack Obama called you today, just say, excuse me, I'll get right back to you. Just hold on. I'm talking to my girlfriend. Hold on, I'm talking to Joe, man. We're going to do a Lego thing. Hold on, Barack, I'll be right back to you. We're going to do some drums. Leanne, hey, can you? Barack, hold on. That's the way we treat God. Like we got bigger stuff going on. We play games. I knew, some of you go, no, no, no. God's not going to let me waste away my life. He owes me. We got this thing. Make him my God. He owes me a good life. Not how it rolls. I had a friend here, and he lived in the wilderness. He would fail about every year, about Christmas time. And his failure was crack cocaine. And he would fail completely to where he would be running downtown, living on the street, hustling, making money, running women, doing all this stuff just so he could get his crack cocaine. And we were working with this rehab house just up the corner, and he shows up on Christmas Day, soaking wet, filthy. I chuckle, because God had turned his face from him, kind of put his hand against him. You know, every once in a while we'll get those freezing cold rainstorms. I mean, rarely, right? Well, this one happened to hit downtown as he was out of money. And he was standing in the archways downstairs trying to get out of the rain. And it's freezing cold. And it's windy as all get out. And he said, no matter what doorway I stood in, the rain would just come pelting on me. So he comes to the rehab, cold, freezing, starving, filthy. He was pitiful. And I looked at him and I laughed. I said, God got your attention yet? God had got his attention. And he got right. And the next Christmas, he did it again. And he went back to prison. Come out. And as far as I understand, this year, he is doing it again. There are people who know who the Lord is and struggle with their lives and struggle with obedience and struggle with all this stuff. Now, get to this last point, but I don't know where he's, I'm glad I don't have to know where he's going to end up on his way to heaven. God knows that, and God deals with that. But these Israelites had called out to God, and he had delivered them from slavery, and they got twisted up in their lives on their way to the promise. And I see that in the lives of some folks who want to call upon the name of Jesus. That they call upon his name, he delivers them out of their stuff, and then they get tied up on their way to the promise. Does that make sense? We're going to be working on this for the next couple of weeks. All right, last thing. The path of the promise. We're talking about facing up to the challenges as we pursue the promise and the path of the promise. We need to be people of worship. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, did you guys enjoy our worship time today as we were singing? Amen? All right. When you have crossed the Jordan. Now, this is Deuteronomy 27, okay? And this is kind of a different phase of this talk that Moses has given to the people. When you have crossed over the Jordan and into the land the Lord your God is giving you, set up some large stones and coat them with plaster. Write on these big stones all the words of this law when you've crossed over to enter the land the Lord your God is giving you. A land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. And when you have crossed the Jordan, set up these stones on Mount Ebal. We're going to talk about Mount Ebal and Gerizim next week. As I command you today, and coat them with plaster, and build there an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones. And he says, when you're going to be my people, and you're moving into the promise, I want you to continue to be a people of worship. I want you to continue to be a people who have your eyes upon the Lord. Write down the words of God. Put them on these big rocks. They're big rocks, not little rocks. Big rocks. And he says, and they have to go through at least three, maybe four battles before they get to Mount Ebal. Okay? So they're carrying these rocks around with them, with the words of God written upon them. And they form a basis for their lives. As they are entering into the promised land, as they enter into the promise of God, it is the word of God that will be their stability. It is the word of God that will be their foundation. Help me now. Amen? Is the word of God a basis for you? Is it give you some, or are you just wandering in the wilderness? If you're tired of the wilderness, grab onto the rock. Amen? Well, there's a song, a hymn that says, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And some of you guys have just been going through quicksand 2011. You want to learn how to stand on Jesus? We'll help you. One of our founding visions, our tenets of truth, the vision that we have for this church is that we grow people. You want to grow? We'll help. But don't grab onto us. We'll help you grab onto the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Nobody ought to be grabbing. Now, if you want help, see, I don't want to grow so much as I just need some help. There's all kinds of people who do help around here. We will point you in the right direction. But if you want to grow, we'll help you grow. You see the difference there? All kinds of people look to the church for help. We're going to help you grab onto the Lord. You can be wandering in the wilderness, or you can be a person of the promise. It's up to you to choose. When you come here, we're going to be people of worship. Last thing I'm going to talk to you today briefly about is our focus for 2012. Briefly, I said. Some of you go, oh, no. Five things. Worship. We come together to celebrate God. It is the desire of Lisa, the desire of I, the desire of the leadership of this church, that when you walk into this place, that you will experience the presence of God. And that all throughout 2012, that you can come here and experience the presence of God, and that you can learn how to experience the presence of God outside of this place. Amen?
Amen.
Discipleship. When we come together, I'm going to teach you about Jesus. I'm going to teach you about the Word of God. I'm not going to teach you how to balance your checkbook. I'm not going to teach you how to have a great relationship with your wife. You follow the precepts of God, you will have a great relationship with your wife. You will have a great relationship with your kids. Amen?
Amen.
Our focus is going to be on learning the Word of God. Evangelism. God expects you to tell some people about Him. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. So go out there and shine. He says, you are the salt of the earth. Go out there and be spicy. Make a difference. Tell some people about Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Fellowship. Oh, yeah, fellowship. There is something unique when you hang around with people that love the Lord. I'll tell you what. Some of you might have made some choices to go around with some folks that aren't here today last night. And they talk different than we talk. And they act different than we talk or we act. But there is a unique thing, a dynamic thing that happens as you hang with the people of God. There's people that will speak into your life, and there's an opportunity for you to speak into somebody else's life and have impact. Jimmy's down there cooking some burgers for you right now. Go down there, hang with us, and hang out, and we'll just see what the Lord's going to do. And for those of you who are on a health kick, we do have veggie burgers. For those of you who don't care, we have hot links. All right. Ministry. Every member a minister. If you're a member of this church, we want you working as a vibrant part of this church. Not cleaning. But I tell you what, Ramiro cleaned all these carpets the other day and they look marvelous. Ramiro also leads the Spanish ministry here. And you can do both. That preaching ministry is intended for folks that are at the upper crust, have gone through a lot of stuff, and we're going to put some polish and really turn some folks loose. Julie is working with some folks to enter into the teaching ministry, and Katie is being involved, and Lisa's going to be involved, and I'm going to blank. Linda is going to be involved. Natty's going to be involved. So many people. Shauna is even going to be involved. Some youth girls are going to be involved. Aaron and Anissa. It is and all those teachers, grammar school and preschool, we're going to send them all to a teacher training thing on January 21st. Did I forget somebody? They're going to go up to like Riverside or San Bernardino and just come back transformed. Worship, discipleship, evangelism, fellowship, and ministry. Those are our goals for 2012. If you grab onto those things, some of you didn't grab onto any of them in 2011. Some of you grabbed onto many of them. If you grab onto those more than you did in 2011, I guarantee you that your 2012 will be better. Amen?
Amen.
Choices that change. People of the promise or wandering in the wilderness. It is yours to choose. But wilderness or promise is better than slavery.
Amen.
Amen? Lisa, come on up, would you? Maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know what? I'm still in Egypt. I'm still totally messed up. I'm still lost in my sin. Look at that kid. That is what you were missing in your life. You see Roki? Roki looks like that kid. Comes in here running. I was running from a Rottweiler earlier today. Look what God is doing to me now. He's going to be in that preaching class. I would rather that that was delayed a moment now. But maybe you're here today and you are in slavery and you need to be set free. You hadn't even got to the point where you're struggling with the commands of God and the precepts of God and the guidance of God. You're just lost in your sin. You're saying, I want 2012 to be different for me. I want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior this morning. I don't want to be like JoJo running around going, woohoo. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you this morning knowing that you're mighty and that you're able to save. That you save from slavery, Lord, that you lead through wilderness and you lead through the promise. There's challenges in the wilderness, Lord, and there's challenges in the promised land that you guide us through all of it, Lord. To do a work in us, Lord. And you're here this morning, and the Lord is speaking to your heart. He's saying you're a slave. He's saying you need to be set free with nobody looking around. And the Lord just speaking right to your heart, and you're afraid I'm going to call you by name. The Lord's calling your name. And you're thinking, I don't want to be a slave to sin anymore. I want to be set free in my life. Nobody's looking around, but the Lord speaking to your heart, you're saying, that's me. I want to be like a child before the Lord. I want a new heart. I want to be set free. I want to see the miracles of God working in my life. I want to follow him. Nobody's looking around right now. The Lord's speaking to your heart, and you would just say, Lord, that's me. Lord, I want all that. I want to be free. I want to be new. I want 2012 to be a year of promise. I want you to guide me. The Lord's speaking to your heart, and you want to do that just as a sign to him. Would you just slide your hand up and say, here I am, Lord, right here and right here and right there. Here, yes. There and there, yes. Hallelujah. Here, all over the place. You put your hand down. Let's put it up. I always often do this. And didn't put your hand up and you're freaking out right now because the Lord's saying, that was for you. That was me. And the pastor said, I'm going to pause for just another moment. The Lord is speaking to your heart and you did not respond. Don't start 2012 like that. Say, Lord, I'm going to follow your commands. And right now he is saying, I need you to trust me enough to respond. You didn't put your hand up before. And he's just all over you right now. I'm not going to embarrass you. But you can start 2012 in obedience. That's you. I just want you to slide your hand up. Hallelujah. Right there. I jumped up when I did that. Right there. Yes. You put your hands down. Anybody else? Anybody else? Hallelujah. Lisa's going to sing. We're going to sing some songs. If you want prayer, I invite you to come up. I want to pray with you. You raise your hand. You're saying, you know, I want 2012 to be different. I want to anoint you with oil. Sign of the Holy Spirit, that he would guide you and hold you and direct you. And we're going to close our time in worship. And I hope and pray, Lord, meet you here. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's stand. And if you need, come down. Let's pray.